Okay, please find a comfortable posture. Keep your back straight as much as you can. Gently close the eyes. Take a few deep, long breaths. Release, relax your body, relax your mind. Please do it two more times. Experienced relaxation and peace. Feel harmony with your body. Feel close to yourself. Now send your loving thoughts towards yourself. Thinking, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be peaceful. When we repeat these three words, what we are doing, we are making our intention. In the beginning, we repeat words because this is a progressive practice, making intention, understanding the meaning of each word, what it means to you clearly and deeply, then repeat it to yourself. May I be well, may I be happy, may I be peaceful. It's a simple practice, but it is so profound, powerful. Lots of positive energies creating inside you, and also you are sharing this energy around you and outside of you. The world is too big for you to change, but your inner world is a perfect size. If you cannot change your inner world, how you are going to change the outer world? What we see outside, reflection of your inner world, what you created, what you practice, we can see the result outside world. Therefore, whatever we see in the external world, we all are responsible. Therefore, if you feel that responsibility, best thing you can do, change within. May I be well, may I be happy, may I be peaceful. Now send your loving thoughts towards your family. May all of my family members be well, be happy, be peaceful. Think of them individually, by names, parents and grandparents, whether they are here in this world or not. You all have memories with them. Those memories, positive or negative, they are a big part of your journey. If you have negative memories with them, still you can practice loving kindness. Then your brothers and sisters, children and grandchildren, uncle and aunts, whoever you call family, please think of them. When you think of them, how do you feel? If they are close to you, you feel better, you feel wonderful. If they are difficult people, how do you feel? That is the area we have to focus on. Now think about all the difficult family members. How do you feel? Are you angry? Are you disappointed? Maybe you are clinging to something, some old memories. If they did something negative, is it possible for you to forgive them? What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is completely letting go without reservations. You may think, I cannot forgive. Yes, you can. If you cannot forgive, maybe you are clinging to something. Then you can ask yourself, what is the purpose? I'm holding these negativities in me. No benefit for me mentally or physically. It is hurting me. But don't try to delete those memories from your mind. You can forgive, but no need to forget, which is impossible. Most important thing, all those negative experiences with your negative family members, when those things come to your mind, how you are going to handle it? Think to yourself, I deserve peace. Life is short. I don't have time to worry or sad or mad. No benefit. Instead of anger, I'm sending them loving thoughts, wishing them well. Then I take care of myself. We all are brothers and sisters in one large family. Now send your loving thoughts towards whole world. May all living beings be well, be happy, be peaceful. Different people, different parts of the world, different countries, different animal beings. Born and unborn, seen and unseen, close and far. All beings, be well. Be happy, be peaceful. Now slowly turn your attention to your breath. Every breath you take in, you take out, is taken mindfully. Focus on your natural, ordinary breath. Your breath is your noble companion. It is a big part of your living, your life. When you focus on your breath, it means you are focusing on your life. That is, meditation is all about. If you are distracted by a thought or a feeling or a sensation, bring your attention back to the breath. When we do your meditation practice, we cannot use the word "we are controlling our mind, controlling our thoughts or emotions." That is not meditation. Meditation is understanding your mind, how your mind works. Not making rules to your mind, not repressing, not expressing. Instead of repressing or expressing, we are analyzing, looking for the root cause. Then take the root out, then we are realizing something beautiful about life. That is the meditation. Now observe your mind, observe your body. Your body is relaxed, your mind is calm, tranquil and peaceful. Now bring your palms together close to your heart. Make a wish for yourself in this beautiful day, for coming week. I'm going to be a different person with different mindset, with loving kindness and mindfulness. If I had any weaknesses, I'm going to focus on them, going to make the determination not to do those negativities again. Then you can make a wish for somebody who need healing or blessings or prayers. This is the good time to think of them too. May peace be with you. May you be well. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. Thank you very much. Please open your eyes. Okay, we are going to do our chanting. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Anicca vata saṅkhārā, Uppādavaya dhammino, Uppajjitvā nirujjanti, Tesaṃ upa samosuko, Sambe santa avera hontu, Sambe santa abhya pajya hontu, Sambe santa අනිගාහොන්තු සබ්බෙ සත්තා සුඛියතානං පරි මනෝපුබ්බංගමාදම්මා මනෝසෙට්ටා මනෝමයා මනසාචේ පදුට්ටේන භාසතිවා කරෝතිවා තතෝනන් දුක මන්වේති චංකංව වහතෝ පදං මනෝපුබ්බංගමාදම්මා මනෝසෙට්ටා මනෝමයා මනසාචේ පසන්නේන භාසතිවා කරෝතිවා තතෝනං සුඛ මන්වේති ඡායාව අනපායිනි. We believe my wish. Okay, good morning everybody. Okay, so in your culture, December is a very important month. Why is that? Christmas. In the Buddhist journey, in the Buddhist countries or Buddhist practice, month of May is very important month. Why is that? Visakha day, Buddha's birth, his enlightenment, his passing away, we are celebrating in the same day, same month. So now this month is, we just started. Now next week we are getting ready for the Buddha's birthday celebration. We call the birthday celebration, but not only birthday, we are celebrating his enlightenment and also his passing away, about his death. We are celebrating those three events in the same month. Why? He born in the month of May, he was attaining to the enlightenment in the month of May, and he passed month of May. So therefore, it's very easy for us. We can celebrate all his life in one month. How wonderful! It's easy, right? So anyway, before I go toward that direction, yesterday evening I had a little kidney stone surgery. So still I'm going through that pain. And so when I was laying on the hospital bed, I was thinking to myself, like maybe 45 years ago, I became a monk, right? So the day I became a monk, there was another boy became a monk with me. So he is a little older than me. We both became a monk same day under the same teacher. So he didn't stay in the order more than a year. He left. So that, you know, that's the first ordination happened under my teacher's guidance, first time in my home temple. So when I became a monk, there was another young monk, my grand teacher, ordained. So he became the first student of my teacher also. So then I was second. So then we both raced together. It was wonderful. We had a wonderful time. Then later, he also disrobed. He left. The first one, that young man, after 1 year later, his ordination, he left. My older brother, monk, he also, later years, he left too in the order. I stayed. Then I was thinking, laying on my hospital bed, what's going on in my life? So it doesn't mean I'm always good. So it was challenging. I'm a very stubborn young monk, very challenging because of my nature, because I'm always asking questions. If I don't like something, I just say I don't like it. My teacher knows that. So then other day, my teacher called me, and we had a really long conversation with him about our home temple, about things in future, because I'm the number one in the row. And so then we were laughing, you know. However, even I have all the challenges and difficulties when I'm as a young monk, however, I figure it out. So finally, I end up in this country. Look what happened. So now I'm traveling all over the world and sharing this message. I start the Blue Lotus Temple, a couple of other temples around the country, and beautiful center in Sri Lanka. All those things, beautiful things happen. So why I'm sharing this information a little bit, life is not easy. Life is difficult. But we have to make a strong commitment, go through all the difficulties and challenges to make this life fruitful, wonderful experience. Now, my life, even it is not perfect, I cannot say life is perfect. However, life is beautiful for me. Why I say my life is beautiful? I prepared my life to lose. It makes sense? I prepared my mind to lose. I prepared my life to lose. After I, you know, that's the worst case scenario, right? One day, everything going to lose, whether you like or not. After I prepared my mind and life to lose, nothing to lose. Then life is good. Then I was laying on the hospital bed. I was thinking, you know, so Bhante Rahula dropped me to the hospital. Then he left. I said, you know, they will call you and pick me up because I cannot drive after under the anesthesia. And then I said, thank you so much for dropping me to the hospital. If I die, all good. I said, all good. Continue the temple and do the good job here. But good reason, I woke up. Now, I know today I had to give this morning my Dharma talk. So, surprise, I'm here. So, anyway, I'm so happy to be here. So, anyway, so then I was thinking to myself, making this life being a monk is not easy. People think become a monk is very easy. It is not easy. How many monks coming to the order? How many monks stay here? I stay in the order. Why? It is a very challenging commitment. So then I was thinking, if I don't become a monk, I don't know what I'm going to do. However, universe really guided me. I have a good karma, good energy. I came a long way. However, I figure it out. So what I'm trying to tell you, to get into this place, sit down on this cushion right now, it is not a simple act. It is a commitment, lifetime commitment. So, sharing that, now think about any nurses are here? Any nurses or any doctors, any medical professionals? Okay. How long it take for you to become a nurse? Yeah, 3 years. Okay, now think, become a doctor? Anybody knows, become a doctor, how long it take? 6 years, I know that, 6 years. Right, exactly, it take time. Now think about every vocation, it take time and years and to make the commitment to become that person. So, become a monk? Lifetime commitment. It's not the one day commitment. Lifetime commitment. So then become a head of the temple? That means I have to commit my whole life, you know, for to continue this place. Even I'm traveling somewhere in the world, still I get the messages from the office and the community, Bhante, this and that. So it's not easy, big responsibility. So that means we have to have lots of training in the mind to prepare to be that person. So, become a nurse, it took 3 years. Become a doctor, it took 6 years or more. That means commitment. Now, we can find nurses, we can find doctors. Everybody can become a doctor? No, right? Everybody cannot become a doctor. It's very challenging. I'm just using an example. Now, think about 2600 years ago. Prince Siddhartha became a Buddha. We all heard there was a man from east, northeast in India, become a Buddha. His name is Prince Siddhartha. 2600 years later, you ever heard there was another Buddha was born in somewhere in this world? You have heard anybody born as a Buddha again? Somebody become a Buddha? No, right? Only story we know, there was a man 2600 years ago, I think 508 BC, there was a man become a Buddha. That means there is no Buddhas everywhere. Now think about Sri Lanka. We have lots of gems. Sri Lanka is so popular for blue sapphire. Very popular. So now think about when you are walking around the road or when you are doing hike in Phoenix or, you know, Colorado or something like that. Do you find any blue sapphire? Oh, there's a blue sapphire everywhere. Do you find? No, right? How wonderful if you find something like that. What does that mean? It is very rarely it is happening, blue sapphire on the earth. Not every place on the earth. That means very challenging, very rare opportunity to find. So you can see why we don't have another Buddha 2600 years later. Becoming a Buddha is a big commitment. Become a monk is easy when we compare to the Buddha. Right? But become a Buddha is not easy. So become a nurse, she said, it took 3 years. So become a monk, it doesn't take that much time. We have to find the teacher and feel right and then tell, I want to become a monk. Even somebody wants to become a Buddha, he said, according to his life story, millions of years, life after life, I train myself, I train my mind to become a Buddha. Why? He become a universal teacher. That means he is making a commitment to make his life universal. Why? He is going to share this message to the whole world. Now think about how many people can make that kind of commitment. Okay, I'm trying to make it short. So then he born into a royal family in India. His name was Siddhartha Gautama or Gautama. So then, however, he had a very luxurious life. Very, extremely luxurious. Then he enjoyed, that's the one side of life. Sometimes we go to the one extreme, that luxury life. What is the other end?
Nothing,
you know, other end. So that's how world is functioning. We have or have not. So then he, in the beginning, in his royal life, he had everything. He experienced that. Nothing wrong with that. He experienced it. I call the, he's a party guy or the playboy type. You know, I think, you know, American way to say it. That's how I see it, his first part of his life. Everything is fun. Then, however, when you go to the one side of life, then what will happen? When we are in the one side, going one direction?
There's another extreme.
Another extreme, then he felt something not right. He fed up with that. So then he's thinking, it doesn't work. So then he was thinking, there's a lots of pain and suffering in this life. It's a long story, make it short. Then he thought, if it's lots of pain and suffering in this life, there should be an answer. So then he decided, so I experienced this. Now there's lots of pain and suffering in this life. I have to find the answer. Then he made the decision, I have to leave the palace to go and find that answer. Then that time in India, people or spiritual leaders who was looking for the inner journey or salvation, what they did, they get the self-denial, all the other extreme, you know, they're giving all the way they eat, you know, they were meditating in the forest, it's a long story, they got a other direction. Then he was thinking, that's the way it should be. Then he left the palace. He tried 6 years, self-denial, all the painful thing into his life. Then he realized it doesn't work either. Right? If you go to this direction when we get tired, when you go to this direction and get tired, then however, he found the place we call the middle ground. We call the holy ground. I call it the holy place. Middle is the holy place. Then he found the middle ground. So finally, however, he became an enlightened Buddha. So before he left the palace, he was married beautiful princess called the Yashodhara. And the day he left the palace, his baby was born. His name is Rahula. You know, he was born. And he felt, oh my God, today I got the news, baby was born. Now he already made the decision to leave. But before he leaves, he was thinking, I made my decision to leave. It's so challenging for me to leave as 29 years old father. How am I going to leave my newborn baby? Now think about the day your baby was born. As a mother, as a father, how you felt? Maybe felt amazing. Then he felt, oh my God, I have a child now. It's a big bond, big responsibility. Now I can feel when I have responsibilities like that, taking care of the things, how big it is in my life, those responsibilities. Now think about your own body. Your child is a part of your body. He felt that strong feeling. Then he was thinking later of the years he's talking about, before I leave tonight, he made the decision I'm leaving. I want to see my son first time, give him a hug or kiss. He was prepared everything to leave the palace that night. Then he was walking toward the princess room. Then the door is half open. He was look inside. Then he saw princess is holding the baby and resting. Then young father, he felt, how beautiful this is. How beautiful. I want to hold my son and hug him before I leave. Then he stepped in. Then he was thinking, oh my God. if I do it, princess wake up. That means I cannot leave. You know, when wife wake up, asking thousands of questions. You all know that, right? Where do you go? What time do you come? And so, then if she wakes up, I cannot leave. But I want to hug and touch my son. Then he was thinking, if I do it, it is a distraction for my leaving. But I am leaving without touching my son, without saying goodbye to my family. I'm just leaving today. No, I don't want to be selfish. If I stay today, I'm so selfish. Because of my child, I'm staying in the palace. Today I'm leaving this palace because of all the children in the world. How many people can make that commitment? Today I'm leaving my wife, all the wives in the world. Today I'm leaving my family, all the families in the world. So he made the decision without touching and holding the baby and talking to the wife. He left the palace. So we call it great renunciation. Recently I saw in the social media post, Siddhartha Gautama is the most selfish person in the world. He left the palace. He left the child. He left the wife. He is the most selfish person in the world. Then in that moment, I felt, yes, he is. I love it because the way I see it, totally different. Without being selfish, he cannot live. This makes sense? So when people say he is the most selfish person in the world, people say it negative way. Actually, that is the selfishness. When people say, oh, he is so selfish, that's real selfishness. But spiritual selfishness is totally different meaning. So when I see Siddhartha Gautama, he left the baby and the wife and the family. Yes, he is the most selfish person in the world. In spiritual content, he is. If he didn't leave that day, so people think, regular normal people in the world, they think he is selfish. Why? He left the palace. So that means we have to stay for a small person or one or two people. We have to make that commitment for those one or two or three people, that small family. Which is wonderful if you can do that. Now think about, there is a man making the commitment for all the children in the world. What do you think about that kind of mind? Now, how difficult for you to make a commitment for your own family? Is it easy to make the commitment for, you know, 24 hours for your own family? Raising a child 18 years, 19 years, is it easy? It is not easy. So it is a very big job. So therefore, I'm so happy I became a monk. But anyway, I don't have that kind of family in my life. But my family is big. My family is big. Yesterday, I'm on the hospital bed. Now think about my life, right? I'm in the hospital bed. Still, my phone is next to me. I got a text message from one of the members used to live here. Bhante, I'm in the terrible situation right now, but everything, I have my cannula and everything and ready to go. She said, I really want to right now. Then I send a text message to her. I'm in the hospital bed right now. Can I talk to you later? Then she said, I'm very sorry, but I don't know, I cannot handle this pain anymore. Then that moment I made the decision, I said to the nurse, is it okay if I call somebody? Being in the hospital bed, I just call like 5 minutes to that person. That is the commitment when we have a world family. Sometimes people think Bhante Sujata is crazy. Of course I'm crazy compared to the world. But being, doing this job is not an easy commitment, because we are committed for this life to be myself, serving to myself and serving to the whole world. It is not easy job. Even this morning, Susan came to me and said, "Manthi, maybe you are extremely, maybe tired and exhausted." I said, "Yes, I am. Even I feel it right now here. But if I laying on my bed, what I'm doing now? Maybe nothing." Then I thought, why am I doing that? I can tell Bhante Rahula, please go and do the Dharma talk. I can easily ask him. Definitely he will do it. But I thought, no, I'm going to do that. This is my commitment. So therefore, what I'm asking you, becoming a Buddha is not an easy job. Becoming a Buddha, it is not an easy job. Becoming a monk is not an easy job. How many people can make this commitment? How many can continue this journey? Now think about even being a spiritual being, how difficult it is. You know, the other day I said, Monday I think I said, sometimes people always come to the place for the inner journey, almost finished, but they turn and a big U-turn and go back. I have seen my last 22 years in this temple. They come always into the water, ready to drink. But they think, no. Then they're going back. Then when I see that they are leaving, I was thinking, okay, that's their not time yet. They will come back again. So many people who left last 22 years, so many people return. Then that day, still I am the same. You know, I'm not same means physically I change, but mentally I'm accepting them same manner the day they left, day they return, because that is my commitment. So, now think about it. If Siddhartha Gautama not become a Buddha, people think, so his wife lost his husband. His son lost his father. His parents lost the son. So that's what people think. Now if he didn't leave, we lose Buddha. If he didn't leave that day, we all miss the Buddha. If he didn't leave that day, I'm not teaching here. If you didn't leave that day, you are not meditating here. Think about even right now in this present moment, how many thousands of people in the world, not thousands, even millions of the people in the world finding inner peace, thinking of the word of the Buddha. Just thinking about that Buddha. So what I am suggesting you today, this morning, you have that power too. Make sense? You have that power. Why? Siddhartha is not a divine being. He's not the divine being. He's a regular Indian man. But however, he changed his perspective about life, how he thinks. He changed. He changed for good. He changed his mind for himself and changed the world. So that is the power of the being a Buddha. That is the opportunity we all have. So my suggestion, so if Siddhartha become a Buddha, you can do it too. Why? Every time when I say something funny, I can see you are smiling. That means that tiny little Buddha inside you. So therefore, don't underestimate you. Don't overestimate you. Always think to yourself, one day I can be the Buddha too. So in this month, month of May, what I am suggesting you today, even you have all the challenges, difficulties, problems, pain and aches and all those things in your life, every time think to yourself, I have that Buddha nature inside me. So therefore, please go and find, no need to go. That Buddha is right there. But the problem is you are looking it somewhere else. Looking it inside other people's lives. Looking for that Buddha nature, you know, in the world. The Buddha is not in the world. Buddha is inside you. If Siddhartha did that job, you can do it too. Does it make sense? So, therefore, it's a very rare opportunity to find that inner Buddha nature. Very rare. How many people see your Buddha nature? How many people appreciate that Buddha nature inside you? I can talk about this historical Buddha, Prince Siddhartha, you know, whole day today. But my point today, you have this rare opportunity in this month to see inside you that extraordinary, you know, attention you can have in your mind to find that inner peace. Otherwise, even I can talk about this next year, next, you know, the May too. But I want to see big progress in you next year when we celebrate Buddha's birthday. And my wish, my determination right now, I want to see my progress is better when I'm celebrating Buddha's birthday next year. So therefore, let's make a commitment together. Any thoughts? Any thoughts about it? Yes.
I appreciate the selflessness and the giving. Mm-hmm.
So, can you tell me, it's taking care of yourself?
While also serving others the appropriate amount.
Okay, so this is how I feel. Because I'm always in the service, right? So, when I come to my spiritual journey, I'm the most selfish person in the world. Why? It is very important to me. So, what I'm doing now, what I did today, I took care of myself. When I'm taking care of myself, that is the service for the world. So therefore, no need to try to do another big service to the world. When you really do it to yourself, this is the outcome. So therefore, don't think it's a two different thing, taking care of yourself and taking care of the world. And, you know, so it is a limitless. Sometimes people say, think, Bhante, you are doing too much, too much, too much. That's how people feel. But I said, yeah, I know, thank you so much for telling me that. I appreciate that, but I know my capacity. I know how much I can handle myself. So therefore, forget about the world. That's what I'm suggesting you. Forget about the world. When you are really doing so well to yourself, you feel so energized. You can do so much to the world just being with your own practice. So therefore, it's not the two things, it's just one thing. Okay, thank you.